Blog Talk Radio.
And this is my show. Say what? When? Where? And most importantly, why? I've been asking why my whole life, and I have found some answers to life's questions, which I have been sharing with you every week now since last December. But this week was my birthday week. And today is also Mother's Day. And having a birthday at Mother's Day is kind of like, after you become a mother, it's kind of like having a birthday at Christmas. You get one present and two cards. But this year, I got the best Mother's Day present I could have possibly gotten. If you've been listening to my show for a while, you know that my oldest daughter and her daughter, my granddaughter, thought they would like to share with me that I had just not been the type of mother or grandmother that they wanted, that I just didn't fit their concept of their idea of a mother and a grandmother. Now, I've always known that my oldest daughter had issues with having me as her mother, but we have kind of like tiptoed around each other and been able to maintain a relationship, all except for 3 years while she was a teenager and lived with her dad. So her telling me that she had issues with me being her mother was not a surprise to me, but nonetheless, knowing, having her speak it didn't totally numb the pain of her telling me. What could I do? You know, the past is past. I am who I am. And I did the best I could with the tools that I had. So this week she called me and she said, "Mom, I've been thinking about you all this week." You know, it's my birthday and it's Mother's Day. So she said, "I've decided that it has been unfair to you for me to think that you had to be a certain way to qualify and be satisfactory to me as my mother. I've been thinking all week about how unique you are, how you have overcome the obstacles in your life, how you have accomplished so much, how I brag on you all the time to my high school students, and how I am who I am today because I have had you as my mother. And I want to thank you for being my mother, and I love you." And then my granddaughter called me and said, "Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. You are so important to me, and I love you." So I feel that whatever resistance has been in our relationships is now dissolved. And for the rest of the time that we have together, we can just enjoy each other and love each other. So yesterday I did a memorial service for a mother of 5 children. You know, it's always hard to lose your mother, but perhaps even more especially at Mother's Day. So I wanted to share with you my script from this memorial service. I have changed the names to protect their privacy, but these stories are real, and I believe you will be blessed. Good afternoon. My name is Marcy Ann. I am a professional officiant for the state of California, and I do beach weddings and baby blessings and memorial services here in Orange County, and I have been doing this for 20 years. I am so honored to be asked to be here today with you to do this memorial service. We are here to celebrate the life of Elizabeth Ann Norton Smith, known to her friends as Lizzie, known to her husband as Sweetheart, known to her 5 children as Mother, her 10 grandchildren as Grandma, and her 9 great-grandchildren as Grandma the Great. She was born on November 24, 1925 in Chicago, Illinois in the Roaring Twenties. But before she was 2 years old, her parents moved to California. She had 1 brother and 1 sister. And she met her husband, Bob, while they were in high school. They were high school sweethearts, almost love at first sight. Football games and proms and studying together and stealing those kisses on the front porch. But just think about what Lizzie saw in her lifetime. Mickey Mouse was born January 1st, 1930. Lizzie was 5 years old. And Aunt Jemima's smiling face came out on those General Mills pancake boxes. And Popeye the Sailor Man always triumphed because he ate his spinach. And everyone huddled around the radio and never missed the shadow. What evil lurks in the hearts of men, the shadow knows. Roosevelt was reelected while the people of the United States who were trying to come out of the Great Depression were singing Happy Days Are Here Again, but for most people it wasn't very much better until late in 1939 when the sounds of war began being heard in Europe and then the unthinkable, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Those of us who experienced 9/11 have a good idea of what Lizzie, as a teenager, must have felt on December 7th, 1941. She was 16. I can imagine she was with her parents as they all sat around that big old radio in the living room while President Roosevelt gave his famous Day of Infamy speech. And then Roosevelt revved up the Great War Machine. And Bob went off into the Army Air Corps as a pilot to fight for his country. And we spent those next 4 years fighting the Germans and the Japanese while Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers temporarily danced away our fears and worries here at home. And then we dropped the bomb and it all ended. We began to relax a little and have our men come back home, start living again, listening to Jack Benny and Amos and Andy on the radio. But the greatest celebration of all was when Lizzie and Bob got married in 1945 at the First Baptist Church in Downey. And for the next 68 years, Lizzie and Bob lived in marriage, loving and being loved, having 5 children, and taking care of business. It's almost a tribute to how things used to be that that church was bought by Walter Knott in 1955 and moved to Knott's Berry Farm, where it remains today as a place where lovers say their vows to one another and are never more in love than when they have that first kiss as husband and wife. In the 70s, folks were watching All in the Family and Happy Days on television and listening to Glenn Campbell singing Rhinestone Cowboy. And then in the 80s, Mount St. Helens erupted and reminded us all that the Earth still acts and reacts according to geological cycles. And then a company called CNN had a revolutionary new idea. 24 hours a day, news on television. Would people watch? Well, Lizzie preferred to watch the soaps. Her favorite was As the World Turns and Days of Our Lives. And back in those days, women ironed. We washed and starched the white shirts, and then after they dried, we dampened them back down again and then ironed them, as well as the pillowcases and tablecloths and napkins, and as well as all the other clothes. and Lizzie watched the soaps while she ironed. And I'm sure she never forgot the day that Jack Kennedy was shot, because I also was standing at my ironing board in the living room watching as the world turns when Walter Cronkite broke in with the news. She did her exercises with Jack LaLanne, and she cooked and cleaned and did laundry and polished her hardwood floors and went to parent-teacher meetings and became an expert in flower arranging. And I think she had a really good sense of business, that she was good with money, could easily balance the checkbook. She was the ruler of her household, nurturing her family in dignity, total selfless love and caring, and yet not sparing the rod and spoiling the child. She kept the Fuller Brush Man in business with those brushes she uses to pat your bottoms. She cooked delicious meals, always prepared with premeditative dedication to its nutritional contents, and it was always served on time. You had better be at the table at 5 o'clock. And everyone sat together at that table and put their napkin in their lap and shared and learned as a family. And you always could have whatever you wanted for your dinner on your birthday. And this lady could bake a great cake. And she had the patience of Job. Lizzie kept her childlike curiosity and bubbly enthusiasm for life her whole life. Everything was fun if you did it with Lizzie. She never said a bad word about anybody. She always acted with compassion and understanding in any tense or conflicted situation. Her famous words were always, "It's going to be okay." Well, we moved into the 90s and discovered the truth about DNA, proving that everything is about 95% the same thing. We are all related and connected. And then the internet connected us in a way that DNA couldn't. And then we entered the 21st century, and scientists came out with the string theory and quantum physics. And now we knew that everything is one great big thing, that everything and everyone is connected to everything and everyone else. And the material world is in a consistent state of constant change, determined by the choices that each one of us make as an individual. Well, this information hasn't gotten into the mass mind consciousness yet, but Lizzie was born knowing this, and she raised her children to know that they could do whatever they wanted to do with their life. She was never hampered herself by any preconceived ideas placed on her by society. She always believed that anything was possible. And in between having her children, and eventually when her children were older, she also worked outside the home, teaching her children to be responsible and to look out for each other. But Lizzie did see an evolution of our civilization. Just think about it. From cold furnaces and hand fans to central heat and air conditioning. From party lines, when you had to pick up the telephone and listen and make sure nobody else was already talking, to cell phones, from writing letters to email, from stick shifts, she learned to drive with a stick shift, to automatic transmissions, from newspapers and books from the library, to 24-hour television news and quiz shows, from backyard gardens to genetically modified foods. She saw the election of a Catholic to presidency. She saw the election of an ethnically mixed president. She saw the women get the vote. And then she saw how women wanted to be men. And I don't think she approved of this, because she was a lady. If there was just one overall defining word for Lizzie, it would be that she was a lady. And as Sue's husband said, she was a warm, caring, and genteel lady who possessed incredible inner strength. According to Wikipedia, a lady is a woman who is refined, polite, and well-spoken. In Lizzie's day, a lady would never be seen in public without her hat and her gloves. A lady would never use coarse language or overexpose her womanly attributes. She had good manners. She loved and cared for her husband, and her chaste and supportive presence by his side made him feel important and motivated him to be all that he could be. Recently, I was with one of my daughters, and she asked me, "Mom, how do you think about us kids today?" And I said, "As my greatest accomplishments." And certainly today, as we remember Lizzie, I believe that you five children would say that her greatest accomplishment of all was being your mother. I remember when my mother was 80, and on her birthday, I asked her, "Mom, how do you feel today?" And she said, "Well, how do you think I feel when I have to tell someone that I have a child who is 60 years old?" But when I look at you five kids, yes, that's what you were to your mother. You were her kids. You were her children, no matter how old you are. And as I read your memories of your mother, you all say that she was always thinking of everybody else. She was always there to help and to make things right, always sensitive and caring of others, and always putting others first. All of you said that those times of the family vacations and the cruise you took together, and then making homemade ice cream because Lizzie said there never could be enough ice cream, and camping on the beach under the stars and making a bonfire and making s'mores and shopping, shopping, shopping. Lizzie loved to shop, and here she could teach other people patience, as it could sometimes take her hours to pick out just the right purse. But perhaps most of all, she had a way of making everything okay, no matter what. And that saying will probably always be the one that rings in your hearts from now on. "Oh, that's okay. Oh, that'll be okay." A mother's comfort, and a way of letting you know that you do not need to be afraid and that everything is going to be okay. When I think of a mother, I think of her as the bedrock of our life. I say in my wedding ceremony, when we do the thank you to the mothers, a mother is what keeps our earth turning on its axis and not spinning out of control into space. A mother is the balance in life, setting the boundaries, keeping us on track, motivating us and encouraging us to go on, to be the best, to go for the gold. A mother is the healer of our hearts, the lover of our soul, and the sustainer of our body. She hugs us. She puts a bandage on our boo-boo. She feeds us. She teaches us. She corrects us. She leads us. She serves us. And she loves us. I'm going to tell you today that you're never going to not miss your mother. From this day forward, you will miss her. She will be there with you in your memories and in those sayings in your head. And no matter how old you are, if your mother is still alive, she's concerned about you. She worries about you, and she thinks about you, and she wants you to be happy. And if your mother has passed, you now know that she was a good mother to the extent that she had the tools to do the job. Everyone is doing the best they can with the tools that they have. And if you have any unresolved feelings about your mother, settle them today. make a list of how you feel that the person you are today is because you had the mother that you had. There is a metaphysical idea that we choose our mother. So perhaps you could realize that you are who you are today because you chose your mother. And just an idea for you to consider, I believe my mother is back. She passed 14 years ago this spring, but she came back 9 years ago as the daughter of my niece. In her life as my mother, she had a large mole on her face, which was not able to be removed because it had extensive roots. And this time, she just has a brown spot in the exact same place and in the exact same shape on her face. And she and my niece just came to visit, and we just had such a wonderful time together. She was turning cartwheels, drawing pictures for me, making flower arrangements for the table, and being proud to demonstrate her expertise to be able to pick up just one grain of rice with her chopsticks. If your mother is passed, just consider that death is just a temporary adjustment to eternal life. It allows us to lay down a worn-out and tired body and prepare to pick up a new one, to be able to continue to live and to love and to expand our awareness of all there is and all there is to come. At my mother's memorial service, we all sang Amazing Grace. And I have a CD of a remarkable young woman singing Amazing Grace, accompanied by the singing of the whales, and I would like to share that with you now. And this is Marcianne saying aloha, and until we meet again next week, aloha, because aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you.